The Zone with Jason Anderson.
When your kid graduates high school, and what a monumentous accomplishment.
That's right.
It's just...
Especially for your kid.
It's amazing.
Did they find out new words and new dictionaries?
Monumentous.
Monumentous.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mick Schaefer hanging out with us. He is brought to you by Kona Big Wave. Take a little break and single task tonight with the Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. Let's talk some football as the Chiefs underway tomorrow at noon against the Chicago Bears. So, again, I will preface it with the we don't have to say, what I want to see is no injuries. Okay, so actually, what do we want to see? What are we looking for tomorrow when the Chiefs get underway in their first preseason game of 2022? Mick, we'll start with you.
No injuries.
Yeah, I knew it. No injuries. Josh, what's your number one?
I want to see defensive excellence from the rookies, because that side of the ball needs to get better. I don't worry about the offense. You have Patrick Mahomes and reportedly the best offensive line. We'll see if it's true, but a great offensive line. And when you have those two things, your skill position players are going to be good. They're going to be elevated from whatever they are.
Yep. Adam Schein disagrees about the importance of offensive line.
Apparently.
So
I liked that earlier. You know what? The Raiders are going to be great if
the worst offensive line
can be. If they are great, they will be great.
They can be, yes.
If they're perfect, I was too low on the Raiders. That part's true. That part is true. Right.
This offensive line that people think is going to be near the bottom of the league and how good they are is somewhere near the top.
Yes.
The Raiders are going to be unstoppable.
If all of their bad players end up being good, this team has a shot.
You know, if Mecole Hardman actually becomes Tyreek Hill, then I think the Chiefs are better this year on offense than they were a year ago.
Wow.
That's just my opinion.
Wow,
I don't care really what anybody else says.
Yeah, I want to see Karlaftis own some dudes.
That'd be nice.
I want to see some coverage out of the young corners. I want to see some thumping by Leo, Brian Cook. I want to see those guys who could all potentially be starters on this defense. You could have as many as four or five, maybe, when it's all said and done this year. I want to see them belong.
I kind of cheated, and I went with the entire defensive back rookies and Karlaftis. So it's like, I know that you can say all the rookies, but if I'm like specifically saying, okay, what am I watching? I'm watching the rookie defensive backs and Karlaftis. Like, I want to see Leo Chenal and things like that, but the Chiefs aren't going to be relying on Leo Chenal to be a really good player unless injuries happen. Even without injuries, they're going to be relying on the defensive backs and Karlaftis to be really good this year. So I want to see what Trent McDuffie looks like. I'd like to see in person, well, not in person, but actually on TV where it's an actual game and not just small little clips of Joshua Williams and not other people giving accounts of what they've seen from Joshua Williams. I kind of want to see what that looks like. And then there honestly hasn't been a whole lot of talk about Brian Cook at camp. You know, different players have been asked about him. And they're like, oh, smart, really smart. Spags has talked about how smart he is. Justin Reed has talked about the guy is just all over the place and physical, and he's fast, and he's really smart. That's awesome. But I haven't heard a whole lot. Like Pacheco, we hear about every 5 minutes. Brian Cook, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. They drafted a safety in the second round.
I feel like I've heard more about Joshua Williams than I have Trent McDuffie, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And so, like, when they drafted Thornhill in the second round as a safety, that was all the talk of camp is how good Thornhill's going to be. Well, Brian Cook is a second-round safety, too. And it's just like, it's a second-round safety. But look at all these other players that they have. And obviously, there's so many different draft picks that they have. And Joshua Williams, a guy from, small school. So that's kind of cool that he's, been making waves.
Do you know his last game he played?
No.
First of all, it was November 13th of last year. Fayetteville State, D2, they don't go as long. They didn't make the playoffs, yada, yada. So it was November 13th, so it's been forever, and it was against Bowie State.
Ah, Bowie State.
So he was from Bowie State 10 months later to the Bears.
The Bears, maybe with Bowie the second State. Team for the Chiefs after being a fourth-round draft pick. So it's the defensive backs and Karlaftis. Like, the wide receivers and things like that, but the main thing is going to be Joshua Williams, McDuffie, Brian Cook, maybe Jalen Watson, and a lot of focus on what Karlaftis does look like against another offensive line.
So was that your answer? Did I steal it? I promise I wasn't listening earlier.
No. We didn't actually go through it earlier. We had talked about a number of different things for the Chiefs, but like specifically saying, this is what I'm looking for tomorrow. We haven't gone through it. Josh?
One thing on the safeties, Juan Thornhill was the 63rd overall pick. Brian Cook was the 62nd overall pick.
So he's got to be better.
But
one pick better.
Mecole Hardman was the only guy who went before Juan Thornhill. Brian Cook is the fourth player the Chiefs took in this draft class.
That's a great point.
It just feels different despite those expectations.
Yeah, there's been a lot
totally
more
created.
Of those Thornhill drafts than there's been drafts like this.
Right,
exactly.
Chiefs.
Which I also do think it has played in on McDuffie as well, where, and this also I think is probably a good sign, hearing nothing about your first round cornerback pick, hearing nothing might be good. Because he's just out there against a group of wide receivers that we all think is pretty good, and he's just kind of, I've seen some clips of him just locking dudes up. I'm cool with that.
Although, and obviously it's first round number 21 overall versus fifth round, hearing nothing about Kennard isn't exactly inspiring.
No. Different position. Different position.
Agreed, but hearing nothing, sometimes, it just depends on the position, right?
I'm saying specifically about a first round cornerback is different because of the nature of his position. You would like to hear that Kennard has worked his way up the depth chart.
Yeah.
McDuffie is running with the first teams.
Right.
And so him running with the first teams and providing no headlines as a corner is perfectly okay with me.
And
Kennard was running with the ones and no headlines, we'd be happy about that too.
Yeah, and you know what? If McDuffie plays a game in the NFL and there's not much talk about him,
win.
That
is a W.
As a rookie, I will take that right now. But what are you looking for, Josh?
I'll play by Sunday sound off rules because you guys took the right answers, I think. I mean, I think it's the rookie defensive class. But if I'm going to go ahead and then talk about the guy that everybody's already talking about, there are two reasons that I think Isaiah Pacheco is actually a guy to keep an eye on here. One, he's going to do the things that he's going to be asked to do in the regular season. Returning the opening kickoff will look the most similar to anything we'll see in the regular season and preseason. Special teams will look pretty similar unless guys get tagged in and out. And that's where Dave Tobe wants Pacheco to be. He wants to have him earn that roster spot by the kick return abilities and then see where he ends up offensively. So that, I think, matters. If he boots a couple of kickoffs, the hype train is going to start wobbling on those rails a little bit. But also, even in vanilla offenses, if the trenches are more or less even, what the running back does, you can kind of extrapolate. Sky Moore's not going to get used tomorrow the way he's going to be used in week 1 or week 6 or week 17.
Mm-hmm.
But Pacheco, at least as a runner, might be.
Yeah.
And I do think you can extrapolate that to the entire running back room, particularly him and Ronald Jones, because that's one of the guys where you hear nothing out of camp, and then the first thing you start hearing is, didn't run with the ones or twos at all today.
Yeah.
Derek Gore got work over him. I think if Ronald Jones does run the ball, particularly against the threes and the fours, he's going to look like the Hulk doing it. Everyone's going to go, wait, why is he not on the team?
Or he's going to look like somebody that the offensive line in front of him is the third string offensive line, and there's no holes to run through.
Right.
And now it's like, well, what do you want me to do? You're trying to get me to make a chicken salad out of chicken bleep, you know?
Right.
And that's how I'm going to.
Chicken Shane.
Yeah, chicken Shane
chicken
out
Shane.
Of.
Shane last night.
Chicken salad out of chicken Shane, you know? Well, as.
Shane Hammer.
I don't think so.
It was Ray Farmer for the Chiefs, who then went to the Cleveland Browns. But it was Ray Farmer with who was the Canadian Football League quarterback. The name is right on the
Jordan.
No,
you might as well be referencing
but it was
90s movie.
It was Te'amu?
No, it was it was a while
recently.
Ago. It was during Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And so it was the same guy that said, if you get 3 yards per carry, it sets you up in a third and one.
Awesome.
No, it doesn't.
It's fourth and one.
No, it doesn't. but they were telling him that he was being cut, and it was Ray Farmer that was talking to him. And
who was that guy?
And he said, I mean, I shouldn't know this. I talk about him all the time.
Can I get some more points to Google here? Some more data points on this quarterback?
No.
Former CFL quarterback, though, right?
Yeah, Canadian Football League.
Is it Casey Printers?
Casey Printers. There you go.
Yeah.
So Casey Printers is meeting with Ray Farmer when they told him that they were releasing him.
Got it.
And he said, he's like, what was I supposed to do? You gave me chicken Shane and wanted me to make chicken salad. And Ray Farmer goes, we wanted you to make chicken salad. that's how you make the team.
Yeah.
And so it was a great line.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? Make chicken salad or chicken? Yes, that's how you make the team. We've got quarterbacks here. The way you beat them is to show that you can do this better than what we already know they can do. You should have done that. You didn't. Sorry. We appreciate you being in camp. We're moving on. Thank you. So, I mean, and that's where you get into like Hard Knocks. Would have never heard that line. I would have known Casey Prentice is the guy that said, if you just get 3 yards per carry, it's what you're looking for because it sets you up for third and one.
So Casey said that or Farmer did?
No, okay. Casey Prentice said that as well, while also saying...
That should get you cut right
there. Yeah. You wanted me to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep. What was I supposed to do? Make chicken salad. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a great line from Ray Farmer. So, yes, Ronald Jones might have to do that if he's running with the third team offensive line. It might be like there was somebody in the backfield. What am I supposed to do here? And it also might be as well that they say, well, we know what Ronald Jones can do running the football. We want to see what Isaiah Pacheco can do running the football in an NFL game. All right, it's not Ronald Jones, can he run the football? It's Ronald Jones, can he pass protect enough for the Chiefs to stay on the team? Pacheco might be, let's actually see what he looks like running the football. So I wouldn't actually overreact if Pacheco gets carries with the ones over Ronald Jones, because I think there's an element of trying to see what you have in somebody who's going to be the kick returner, but he also needs to be a running back too, as opposed to Ronald Jones is going to be a running back, but I'm not putting him in the first team to protect the quarterback on passing situations in the preseason. That's not where I'm trying to see if Ronald Jones has improved in his weakness yet. So I wouldn't overreact too much to Pacheco over Ronald Jones. Now, preseason game number 3? Then I might be saying, okay, he's still getting carries behind Derek Gore. Like, this is not, they're going to trade him or cut him or something along those lines.
Here's one very specific thing. Just count how many times Ronald Jones is on the field for a passing play. Literally count
zero,
those
probably.
And then
count them on one hand in his career.
If it's zero, that we've learned a lot just from that. Mm-hmm. If they're testing him in those situations, which I think might be reasonable, how he performs on those plays, I do think could be pretty instructive.
So I was hoping you would elaborate a little bit more because I was going to pull up the Excel spreadsheet that I have of.
Would you like to elaborate? I also was going to ask,
like Ronald Jones.
I would love to keep talking.
Reps he would be on a passing.
Yeah, I feel like most backup running backs catch the football, right? That's their thing. They're the third down back. If you're going to be a first and second down back, you better not be the backup.
Well, so, and that's interesting because I think that that's a recent, I think the evolution of the position at the NFL level at this point is going in the other direction, or at least the Chiefs did, because they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire and people said, oh, he's a pass catcher, he's going to be, well, he was the first and second down back. They didn't leave him on the field in third downs. Darrell Williams became the third down guy, despite not looking like a third down running back traditionally. Jerick McKinnon kind of looks like a third down back. Ronald Jones is a first and second down guy, but I don't know that right now the Chiefs feel like they can trust him to be on the field and not immediately just hold up a sign for the defense that says we are running the football.
So the number of reps that he had on a passing play last year with the Bucs was 12.
Wow, no way.
He came in the game and he was running the football. Because Leonard Fournette is a really good receiver. I mean, he had almost, 100 receptions his last year with the Jags? Like his last full year with the Jags? Like 80 or 90 or something like that?
I think that's high, but I'll find out.
No, I'm telling you, like it was shockingly high what Fournette had in his final year with the Jags. And then he was available in
the
Bucs.
Oh, Jags.
Final year with the Jags. Yeah, and then middle of the season is when like they moved on and the Bucs picked him up. And there was talk about, are the Chiefs going to sign Fournette? Not realizing that the Bucs getting Fournette and then he would help them win a Super Bowl. And that's annoying.
His receiving number is just, this is Leonard Fournette career receptions by year, 36, 22, 76 is last year with the Jags, 36 2 years ago with Tampa, and then 69 last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, Ronald, it's a nice year for him.
It really is.
So Ronald Jones wasn't used that way. Leonard Fournette was a three down back. He was a guy that can carry out on first and second down, and then he's a pretty damn good receiver as well. So Ronald Jones wasn't needed except to spell Leonard Fournette, and if you were spelling Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones would only be
Fournette.
Fournette.
That's what I had, right? Yeah.
Yep, good job. So if you were spelling Fournette / Leonard, it would be on first and second down, because after that, you would go to the third down back, who would be a receiver if Fournette also needed to be spelled yet again, just to show that you could get it right.
L-E-O-N-A-R-D.
Mm-hmm. No, Fournette, yet again, Y-E-T-A-G-A-I-N.
Good. They could also navigate this by using Clyde differently, but it doesn't seem like they're trying to do that. Like, if they wanted to say, hey, Clyde is like the third down guy, you know, you certainly could put him out in first and second down, but he is predominantly the third down guy. If that's an evolution they thought he could make, I think that would be good for the entire team. Ronald Jones can just be out there on first downs. It's kind of flipping it on its head, but or in obvious running situations. And then Clyde could still have the majority of the work. But it seems like they might be more comfortable with McKinnon and Pacheco being their third down guys and just letting Clyde stay in the same role, which isn't my favorite way of using Clyde, who already wasn't my favorite way of using a draft pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm over that, though.
Because that draft pick was supposed to be like a poor man's Christian McCaffrey, and it just has not been the case. But we'll see. You know, he's running with the ones. He's clearly the number one running back for this team.
He's the most talented running back on the roster right now. That's where I'm at. I just think that the way they use him could expand what he can do still.
I agree. He might be the most talented running back on the roster. Might be. I like Jerick McKinnon.
A little poppy.
I think he might be the most talented running back on the roster. That's right, Jerick. Pistachio. We'll get a What's on Tap coming up in the next segment and cuts before the show is over. So last night we were at the 100-year celebration having a good time. And coming up a week from tonight will be the media game out at Sporting Park and or Children's Mercy Park, I should say, where the Current are going to be playing against L.A. And they're going to break the attendance record. It's going to be awesome, mainly because Josh Briscoe is going to be there.
Woo! Everybody comes to see the media.
That's right. So there's a media game taking place at halftime, and I was very honored to be invited to this because I've never been invited to something like that before, so I really appreciate
that. You haven't?
Never.
Really?
Never in the history of ever. I've been invited as many times before this as Zaya Akins has lost races in her career. Never. In ever. I haven't been invited in ever. So I was pumped. It was awesome. So last night they had the draft for the media in these games, right? I didn't know the draft was going on because we had a lot of stuff that we had been planning and preparing for that was on our plate for last night. So my buddy who lives in San Diego texted me and was like, I didn't know you played soccer. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, then he shows me a picture of like my name and 33 and I'm like, again, the hell are you talking about? You know, so I find out there was a media draft last night, you know, for the teams.
My entire staff was there.
Good for you. I actually think they were.
Nothing they take more seriously than soccer halftime media games.
They absolutely were. So then I find out that you've got Team Heartland and you've got Team Electric.
Woo! Heartland!
Davey B is the captain of Team Electric, and I'm on Team Electric. So let's go, Davey B, rock on. Then I find out that Briscoe and Beards are on the other team. Now I'm pumped
for life.
Now I'm pumped that those two guys are on the opposite side of what I am. And this is a draft, right? I don't know if they plan this out or not. So I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, cool, man. Then I get something tweeted to me of the final selections in the draft. Let's all take a listen together of what somebody decided. Let's let Jason know about this.
I guess since there's nobody else left, I'm going to go with Nikki Katie.
That means history relevant is Jason Anderson.
Oh, no.
WHC. Who is the younger guy, but I don't think he exercises.
I don't
think he exercises. So there are so many parts of this.
Yeah, because everybody else in the media is in tip-top shape.
I can't run for six straight minutes.
Parts of this to break down. One, Brenda starts off by saying, since there's nobody left, I guess I'll take Nate. When there were clearly two people left because I was on the board too, I wasn't even good enough for her to even acknowledge I existed.
You weren't even people to her.
She didn't even know I got an invite. She's like, well, that guy never gets an invite.
Your team has one more player, so maybe you were just kind of
since nobody else is on the board, I guess I'll take Nate Bucati, and people laughed, and then Davey B said, well, I guess that makes Jason Anderson Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah, it was already irrelevant. Brenda didn't even know I existed. She didn't even know I was on the team. Part of the players. How did they get to me last? And he says he's one of the younger guys, but I don't think he exercises.
I don't think you're one of the younger guys.
Also, no, I'm not one of the younger guys. And what are the other media members running marathons? What are they, training for triathlons? Does Briscoe leave here and go work out? Does he go do some MMA? Is he taking boxing classes? Beard's doing a spin class when he's leaving here at the J?
Imagine Beard's in a spin class.
Up the hill. Come on. You got it. Get Lance Armstrong. It's not about the bike.
Imagining Beard's on a Peloton falling off like the guy in the Allstate commercial. Is that Allstate? It doesn't matter.
Also, I'm glad so many people could have fun at my expense with, I guess that makes Jason Anderson Mr. Irrelevant. That guy sucks.
I'm willing to bet they drafted the people who were there first.
Had to.
So everybody was there except Nate and I?
No.
Beards and Briscoe weren't there either.
McKenzie wasn't there. She's on
again,
your team.
I remind you, Beards and Briscoe also were not there.
Just real quick.
They might have been the two before Nate. Who knows?
Yeah, but how does Beards and Briscoe go before me? Now I'm offended.
Before Nate is the thing that I am baffled by. But,
no, not me.
But here's, let me just, 18 is well represented here. We have the three of us, and we have Nate, and we have Darren. And I want to just sort of let you really feel out just specifically within the 8-10 people.
Okay.
Much less like Kent Swanson. My God.
No, Kent Swanson needed to be taken before me.
I just feel like somebody's big board. Dave Gettleman is actually captaining maybe both of these teams. The draft order here I have a lot of questions about, but I didn't go last, so I'm happy.
You had Todd Palmer taken before you. He's going to be smoking with a cigarette out there while he's playing. Although he did score a goal.
He scored at the Sporting game.
Three diabetics got drafted before you, Jason. Three of them.
Yeah, but you guys apparently exercise.
Type 1! Our pancreases don't work, Jason!
Well, your legs do. And that's all that's in your feet.
Here's the deal. This should be motivation for you, okay?
Yeah, it won't be.
This should fuel your fire.
No, I do the exact opposite. When these things happen, I shut down.
Yeah, really?
All right, I don't respond.
Oh, I am bad? Really?
I'll prove you wrong.
You think I'm bad? I agree.
I didn't know you thought that. I thought I just want to be loved.
Turns into Michael Cera from Arrested Development.
I want you to want me. Need you. So anyway, go through the 8-10 guests or the 8-10 media members. That'll be there.
I already did.
That was it?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't go through them. You just said like Kent Swanson.
No, I said three of us, Nate and Darren, are the 8-10 people that are well represented here. And
Marco.
I just can't. Oh, I'm sorry. I did gloss over Marco.
That why would you do that?
I didn't mean to. I love Marco.
Why are you leaving Marco out?
I didn't mean to leave Marco out.
Because he's one of the younger guys that does exercise, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I would draft Marco over you in a heartbeat.
Yes, of course.
Nate should have been a very high pick. I think
Haley Lewis was the second pick, I heard.
I'm not advocating to be a first rounder. I'm just saying I shouldn't be behind Briscoe and Beards. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
ooh,
I think
Daisha Jones from 41. She's on the other team. She's on your team. She played college soccer.
Let's go. We are going to. I asked Danny Wilniak if there's going to be a mercy rule because I just don't want to make you guys cry. Like,
well,
I don't want there to be tears.
Here's the thing. Steve Downing works with Telemundo Kansas City. I feel good about that.
That's going to be good for you.
Thad Bell works with the Blue Testament. Mike Kuhn works with the Blue Testament.
Basically,
Cindy
the
Laura.
Soccer writers are the ones that usually do well.
That's going to be writing about soccer or has something to do with the Spanish language is more than likely going to be good at soccer. I will take that as well. Also, Robert Russert, Chad Smith, Blue Testament as well. I'll take that. Whereas, looking over at your side, a lot of TV and some radio and some Kansas City Star going on.
I feel good about this, though. Daniel Sperry covers soccer for the Star. I see some Blue Testament, some Telemundo. I see some really incredible athletes. I think Tucker Franklin's going to come through and eventually take out your shins. I mean, I think I can send him. B.J. Kissel is going to take this seriously. If B.J. is sprinting in any direction at any point, Jason,
really?
Move. Go in a different direction. Run in a zigzag pattern like you're being chased by an alligator. I don't know how he's changing direction, but he will come and get you.
Serpentine.
Yes. B.J. will hunt you down. It will be like a scene from Jurassic Park.
So you've got Sperry, Manzano, and Bradley.
Yeah.
So you got
those
three.
That's our soccer crew right there.
And we've got Bell, Downing, Kuhn, Laura, Russert, Smith. We got six.
I think Team Heartland has some wheels. Not coming from me or Beards, but I think we've got some speed on the edges here. I think we're going to be pretty good here. I think our attack's going to be phenomenal. I think we're going to feed the ball to Nate and let him and Brenda really kind of maybe lead the attack. I feel pretty good about this. I ended up in goal during the sporting media game a couple years ago.
Oh, I'll take that.
I had one save, one goal allowed, and one, I believe, broken thumb. But I put up an okay effort there.
You broke your thumb?
I didn't actually break it, but I had a little while of thinking, is this going to get better on its own, or should I do something to handle this? If I end up in the goal again, I will like get on Amazon and buy some goalie gloves.
If it was bad enough, you might have had Timmy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
If it was going to be going that down that route.
Thummy John.
Will your Mommy John be there to watch you play?
No.
Mm. Okay.
No.
I was going to show up then.
Yeah.
Tammy John is on my team, Team Electric. Couldn't Tammy John.
I'm just glad my media game days are behind me. I played in so many media games.
That was never the last pick.
Soccer. I played a basketball one.
Also, never the last pick.
Never the last pick.
Mr.
I played
Irrelevant.
The football one.
Yeah, it was first pick.
Oh, I got a hit off of Al Fitzmaurice in a baseball game.
Wow.
Yeah, I was picked before Al Fitzmaurice.
Can we spend some more time talking about all of your media game successes and how much people wanted you on their team?
Yep.
Yeah, you're kind of Tom Brady. Do you think maybe we get you out of retirement at some point? But you're kind of the Tom Brady of Kansas City media games.
I can't play soccer.
Like Kyle Trask over here?
I guess since there's nobody else left, I'm going to go with Nikki Katie.
That means Mr. Irrelevant is Jason Anderson.
No.
So he reached me. No. He's the younger guy, but I don't think he answers that.
Mr. Irrelevant is Davey Jason B. Anderson. Just needs to be the intro.
Yeah, I mean,
the
that's intro gonna be of this show. Tenuous coach-player relationship there.
By the way, that's exactly what I was going to. Davey B. pumped about that draft pick.
By the way,
pumped about. I guess that means Jason is on my team. Younger guy, but he doesn't exercise.
I have Dave
Fat ass lazy punk.
Whenever I ran like Final Whistle and all that stuff, I could try and see if we can get him on to have these discussions next week. If you want,
I don't want to talk to him. I'm at an impasse with my relationship.
You
with
quite
the
literally
coach.
Might.
I'm actually
the,
going to demand a trade now.
You
I'm
might
not
be
showing
one of the
up to
five
training camp.
Oldest people playing. Actually,
I'm not showing up to training camp next week. I want to demand a trade to Heartland.
I was thinking. I'm looking
Although
at our...
I don't want to be demand a trade to Heartland because she thought that the only person left on the board was Nate Bucati when there were two of us.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Team Heartland right now, and I don't see anybody who I would be willing to move to bring you over.
Oh, really?
I can talk to Brenda.
Is that right?
To Coach Brenda and see.
Okay.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe if you know, maybe you could be like a salary dump where they like package you with Kent. Maybe we'd be willing to take on your salary. Cannot say that you're going to get playing time.
I'm the
sure.
player to be named later in this trade.
You're sort of the Brock Osweiler of this deal.
I'm the Mr. Irrelevant. Now I'm the throw-in player to be named later just to dump the salary.
Right. No,
you're sending
not,
me and cash.
Not a throw-in. Yeah, to be clear, it's you and cash and picks and future assets to get your money off the
books. I count 22 people on your team, so that means there'll be one goalie. 20 forwards and one defender. That's how it usually works in these games.
All right. Well, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue with more Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You're lesser than me because you're not in the media.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Bah!
All right. We got the cuts coming up next segment and tell you what's on tap this weekend. A lot on tap this weekend. But last night in some preseason games in the NFL, the Ravens, who are the greatest preseason team in the history of the NFL, they're at 21 now.
Yeah, I think the last time they lost was like 2016, I want to say. So they had 4-17, they had 8-18, 12-19, 20 they didn't have any.
No, and then three.
And then
and
three,
four.
Yeah.
Now add four to that, yeah. I mean, just... Good for them. Great streak. Awesome, man. Clearly translates to the regular season.
Absolutely,
if you can just win all of your preseason games.
Or the postseason.
Definitely.
Was the last time they were in the postseason?
2 years ago.
Yeah, the thing last year, and we haven't mentioned this yet,
because
really
Lamar got his first win in the postseason.
We really should mention this again, but you have to root against injuries during the preseason. And again, I know it's the first time we've mentioned it this week, but it's just so important. That really derailed the Ravens last year. You hate to see that. You just want to see the best players play each other and see who's the best, you know? So it's really important to mention that.
More people need to talk about it.
This is the only level of football where you have exhibition games. You have preseason games that are doing in college.
Yeah.
You don't do it in high school.
Well, they do jamborees. Does that count?
They do
kind
jamborees,
of a little,
but it's
but not
a
like three different
actual
games.
That's like a scrimmage. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like three scrimmages in one, you know, something like that. Yeah. So the connection from last night's game to the Chiefs a little bit is, so the Titans and the Ravens. Now, I know we were all at the party, right, the celebration, but when it comes to the Titans.
I was watching on my phone.
I figured you were because you were not busy at all.
I was watching the current media game draft on my phone.
I was texting Davey B, you son of a... The Titans rested their top two wide receivers. Didn't play in the game. And Treylon Burks didn't see a snap until the third series for the Titans. And there's already talk about him not running with the ones at times with the Titans, and he's been running with third team at times. Vrabel's talked about how there's some improvement and kind of figuring some things out that needs to happen. I bring it up because there were a lot of people in the first round with the Chiefs wide receiver that wanted them to trade up and get Treylon Burks or, you know, sit still. And if he gets to the Chiefs, take Treylon Burks. Now, 2 weeks in training camp and one preseason game does not a, you know, career make. Because this time last year, people were saying Ja'Marr Chase can't catch the football. See what happens. Ja'Marr Chase, he took a year off. Bengals, good job picking Ja'Marr Chase that high. He can't even freaking catch. Turns out, could be the best receiver in football. So, I don't know what's going to happen with Treylon Burks. But I didn't want the Chiefs to take him because I was much more skeptical of him being an actual receiver rather than somebody that would be like, you've got to find ways specifically to get him the ball. That he's not Deebo Samuel, that when you get him the ball, he can do all these different things. To me, Treylon Burks was more of, we have to create ways to specifically...
He's 2021 Josh Gordon at the goal line.
Yes, we create ways to specifically get him the ball. Now, again, it's only one game, but I think it's interesting that they rested their top two wide receivers and he still didn't see the field until the third possession with the Titans. It's getting to the point when it's, you know, only three preseason games. They've been at camp for a little bit. He's done the mini camps, the OTs, you know, and 2 weeks of training camp, and he's still not running with the ones, your first-round wide receiver in Treylon Burks. I think it's concerning if you're the Titans, especially when you draft him because you traded A.J. Brown. And you're like, we need our next A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown's playing for the Eagles, and your next A.J. Brown is playing with the third team. So it's just something to keep an eye on for, like, they got Sky Moore in the second round, and people were kind of disappointed when Burks got drafted by the Titans when they traded up to the Eagles.
In all likelihood, we'll see the field the first play.
Certainly been running with the ones at camp and even getting handoffs with the ones in the backfield. And maybe Treylon Burks, if he was drafted by the Chiefs, would be running with the ones and different and you know, things like that. And it's not like Burks hasn't had any reps with the ones. It's just that, hey, here's the first possession of practice. These are the starting wide receivers, and he's not there. Hey, here's the twos. Burks is working in there. Here are the threes. Burks is working in with that. Okay, back to the ones, and he's on the sideline.
That's why I don't mind not hearing news once players are running with the ones. Because if you're running with the ones and you're not making any headlines, you're probably not making any major mistakes, and you're probably earning the trust of the team around you. Like, the only guy that we've talked about that, again, it sounds like is running a little lower than you may have expected is Darian Kennard, but he was a fifth-round pick and a project anyway. You know, that's a whole different ballgame. You'd like to see him in the competition next year at this point, but there was always going to be somebody that got maybe too much hype. Chanel, I would say, also probably around that range just because you have to see him get up to speed. But nothing wrong with guys just running with the ones and not making a bunch of news in training camp.
And Orlando Brown's arrival kind of nipped that in the bud maybe for him. In that, I mean, you would ask me a month ago, I would expected right now Orlando Brown still not to be in camp. So he got there a lot earlier than a lot of us, and maybe even Darian Kennard expected, maybe certainly wanted it, his case. And if he wasn't there by now, maybe you see Kennard running more at left tackle just by default, guys moving around, he's playing a lot more right tackle and running with ones.
No, and I think the point being, like, if he was a first-round draft pick, Kennard, there'd be a whole lot more conversation about how can he not even play right tackle.
Absolutely.
Instead, he's a fifth-rounder that people were excited about that he was there in the fifth round who could be really good.
Like first or second-round talent. Yeah,
because Trey Smith is right there in our minds, fresh from a year ago, who was a sixth-rounder, and it's like, how is he still there in the sixth round? And he's been awesome. And Kennard, how is he still there in the fifth round? And he's been, you know, a rookie. that's trying to play tackle in the NFL, and they've got a guy who's experienced, has been around for a number of years, and then moved to tackle last year, held his own once he got a little used to it, and spent all offseason training as a tackle, not as a guard, and he's in front of him. So you would expect that guy to be in a better spot than the rookie right tackle. Now the fact that whether it's Christian or Roderick Johnson, that would also be working behind Andrew Wiley as opposed to Kennard, that's certainly something to keep in mind. But again, we're talking about a fifth rounder as opposed to the 18th pick in the draft.
Right.
And you traded up. You traded A.J. Brown to get to number 18 to take him. And I guess a couple of ways to look at it. He's the 18th pick in the draft, but he was also the sixth wide receiver taken.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this guy, I mean, first-round pick, he's not even... What if you said, yeah, the sixth wide receiver taken in the entire draft at a college, you know, in years past, it would have been like a third-rounder maybe, you know, mm-hmm. second-rounder at times. But there were five receivers taken in the, you know, top 16.
In a class that didn't have a very, very, very obvious top-heavy section, you know?
Yeah, right.
You could go from Olave to George Pickens was you know, getting to the Chiefs range there in the second round. People liked Sky Moore higher than he went. Some people liked him lower than he went. Like, there was a lot of arguments to be had amongst this particular receiving group. And the Titans liked Burks enough to go get him. Lots of people liked Burks, but
yeah,
to your
absolutely.
Point, I had my questions about if he'd be able to separate at the NFL level.
Well, that's been one of the questions in with last night's game is that, again, I didn't watch it, so I'm reading those analysts that were looking at it in takeaways because, you know, fantasy football and all that. And one of the things was while Burks was out there, there was no separation. They weren't looking his way. He wasn't, you know, getting open and things like that. But again, in a year, he might be a freaking stud that's breaking tackles mm-hmm. and doing all these things. And you go, yeah, it took a little time, but that's why they took him number 18 is because this is what you saw he could be. And I'm not saying that that won't be the case. It's just... When we talked about the Chiefs getting wide receiver, I really like Jahan Dotson. We'll see what he can end up doing. He might suck. And we talked about Sky Moore a lot as well. And you know, Christian Watson was talked about that's there. So we'll see what these guys end up being in different systems. George Pickens has, you know, been catching all of the eyes of people in Pittsburgh with his acrobatic catches and everything. Although Mike Tomlin has said that, you know, he's got some skill. He just has to learn how to play wide receiver. Which, you know, I actually don't find that to be, like, concerning from Pickens' side because I kind of expect that from Mike Tomlin. And that's
it would be way worse for it to be the other way around.
Yeah, it's like, well, he's a good wide receiver, but, you know, we gotta figure out, you know, how to catch the ball. Like, he's catching the ball.
Or how to be fast and 6'4",
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever.
He's catching,
a good receiver, he just runs a 5'2".
Right,
exactly.
And he's not athletic,
yeah.
And he's 5'4".
I feel like
that is a wide receiver's yeah. coach right there yeah. that in the future.
And he had one catch against Rutgers for a first down yes. of 11 yards, you know. He runs a 5'2". Catches everything, just can't get open. No, but Pickens is catching everything near him, and it's like, okay, learn the routes and things like that, and maybe the small little intricacies, whereas Sky Moore is like, yeah, he ain't 6'4", and combination of size, speed, and height, and catch radius, but my goodness, can he run a route, and how quick he is, and he gains separation. There's, you know, whatever you're looking for there, but it's an interesting wide receiver class, and from pick 19... to 43, there was one wide receiver taken.
Yeah.
There were six in the top 18 and one taken until pick number 43. And, well, no, that was Christian Watson was taken in the second round.
What
and
pick was Sky?
Sky was taken 54.
I was there. Okay.
Yeah, so, Christian Watson and then Wandell Robinson and John Mechie and then Tyquan Thornton and then George Pickens and then Alec Pierce and then Sky Moore.
I would have been excited about Pickens. A lot of those other guys. Watson's been hurt and quiet. Mechie's still coming off an injury. I don't know that he's.
Well, no,
even
Mechie's
been...
not playing this year.
Oh, you're
he's,
right.
He's
because of
got,
the
he's got cancer.
The yeah, boy, I forgot about that completely. Yeah, yeah he was coming off an injury, and then they yeah. discovered that when they.
I,
did.
By the way, I liked Mechie, and I
oh,
was.
Me too.
I was thinking if some of those guys weren't there and they were going to take somebody in the second round, I would have been perfectly fine with Mechie being that guy. So it's just it sucks of what's going on with him because you know those things can derail a career. He's never you know. Played in the NFL. Eric Berry, you saw what he was before he went through that. No idea what the what Mechie can be.
He did say in his statement that he called it the most, quote, the most curable form of leukemia, just if anybody missed the details on this.
Yeah.
But so, yeah,
still,
and he's
like,
in a good spot now that that's been identified and he's in an NFL yeah. organization that is, you know, invested in his health. So hopefully that, you know, that does seem like a good place to be, but obviously
the most
news.
Curable form of leukemia is like, you know, there's only minor surgery is when it's, when you're not involved.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The only minor right, surgery is when it doesn't have anything to do with you. So, I mean, it's still it's dealing with something that, you know, that, obviously is pretty difficult to have to, go through. So, all right, what's on tap this weekend? Boy, a lot is on tap this weekend. The Royals, they've got a 3-game set with the, Dodgers. Sporting in action at Austin. That's, tomorrow, 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810. The Current in North Carolina tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Monarchs with a 3-game set at home against Lincoln. NASCAR, the Federal Auto Parts 400. That's in Richmond. NFL, you've got 5 games tonight. You've got 8 games tomorrow.
The big game is at noon on KSHB 41.
Thank you.
Damn right. I was going to get to, I was going to save that for last.
Pre-game show starting at 11 too.
11 o'clock pre-game show.
Post-game for an hour after. Sorry, I'm
No, you're good.
Stealing your thunder.
All good.
There's a show,
Josh. So you can catch that on 41 or NFL Network, whichever, if you want to see Mike or not.
Come on.
I'm just joking. Wow,
also, listen, we got some pregame here on 810. Jack Johnson's going to be live after the game here on 810.
You got Jack Johnson post game, man. It's awesome. So
I mean,
that
definitely
is
watched on 41. Though.
What's on tap? That's presented by KC Beer Company. Playoffs or regular season or preseason or baseball, whatever it is. Special time deserves a special beer. So grab Kansas City's favorite lager, Dunkel, a rich, smooth Munich style brown lager. Go to kcbeer.com to discover all of the award-winning brands.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So sweaty, mom spaghetti or whatever the line is.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's get the cuts because Beards is all like, oh, we don't have much time, so let's just play the cuts. So Beards, just take it away because, oh, you guys are talking about Treylon Burks, you idiots. Go, Beards.
But sometimes our analogies and our references are just going to be on different levels. I played a lot of Mario sports video games while Jason was, I don't know, presumably making friends or something.
Talking to girls.
Monday.
The mustache rides pretty hard.
Whoa. Who was that?
Derek Dieter. I've tried a lot of different things to get these. There's a couple squirrels that keep wanting to eat the tomatoes and my apples.
Oh, I got it. Don't plant tomatoes.
Yeah. There you go. That makes
solution.
Sense.
Monday, Jason. I'll get you the answer.
Can't wait. And he does it with his right arm. That's easy.
We could all do that.
Thank you. The first thing I think of is the play against Richard Seymour.
Sure, but he's got at least two clutch moments.
Well, Christian Colon has two clutch moments.
Richard Seymour.
Sorry.
You did it like three times now.
I did it three times.
I didn't catch
four
it
times.
Even once. Yeah.
Yes. I'll keep saying it from now on, by the way. He's going in the Hall of Fame.
Who are you thinking of?
Richard Sherman.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I love it. I'm built different. It's for the love of the game.
That's
and
right.
The game is eating fried chicken.
You've been to the bean before? You a beaner?
We've beaned it one time.
What if there was a screaming crowd of children out front going, Jason! Jason Anderson! I love the zone!
I would wonder what I did in life to end up in hell.
It's actually true.
Everybody's been pretty moist. Just getting after it.
Oh. Creed Humphrey.
You get that way.
I don't know what's going on at practice. Not here to judge. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
Going a big wave, Golden Nail. Srin Petro, he's up next.